Now, I've gotten to the point that I'm kind of comfortable with that tag personally, but I probably wouldn't use it when, like, introducing myself to other people.
So do you normally go with I'm straight or which side was the 60, the hetero side?
Yeah, that's hetero, but I normally just say, like, I know I've been with both men and women and I'm pretty open, you know, for everything. And it took me a long time to get to that point.
Warning, adult content. The Hookup, love and f***ing on Triple J.
Are you a bisexual guy? Chances are you haven't told many people, if anyone at all. According to the What's Up in Your World survey, only 40% of bi guys have come out, compared to 83% of gay men and 48% of bi women. And while coming out isn't everything, it begs the question, why are bisexual men staying in the closet? I'm Nat Tenchich, and we'll be answering that question on the podcast. But first, here's Hacks Avani Dias, who caught up with a young guy who only truly acknowledged he's bi when filling out the What's Up in Your World survey.
A while ago, actually, you contacted me because I did a survey for Triple J. And when I got to the part on sexuality, it said, are you straight, bisexual, or gay? Like, what do you identify as? And that's the first moment that I externally wrote down or acknowledged, yes, I'm bisexual.
I'm hanging out with someone who we'll call Sam. He wants me to use a different name because he hasn't been totally open with his friends and family about his sexuality. Sam invited me to his choir practice, and as you can hear, it sounds pretty amazing. He says performing has always been a part of his life, but hasn't always helped him be open about his sexuality.
I did choir all through high school, and I went to a really, really supportive school, specifically a performing arts school, so, like, it was all sort of supportive, but I was the guy that people were like, oh, you're gay, you just don't know yet. Knowing that I was interested in women, I was like, oh, well, there's that, so that's fine. It's been something that, like, I just sort of haven't addressed until super recently.
It turns out doing Triple J's What's Up in Your World survey was a huge turning point for Sam and acknowledging his bisexuality.
Underneath it, there was a question that kind of really stumped me, and it was like, have you come out to your parents? You know, I'd barely really fully come out to myself, so I put down no.
So have you come out to people close to you?
No, I haven't. I had a phone call with my mum and dad yesterday talking about this interview because I thought it might suck for them to be driving down the road and be like, I know that voice, I know that person. And it went okay.
So you told them yesterday?
Yeah, I did.
Sam's situation isn't unique. Of the men who identified as bi, only 40% of them had come out to their friends or family. And of all young LGBTIQ people, it was bisexual men who were the least likely to have come out. In fact, young gay men are more than twice as likely to have come out as young bisexual men. But it is worth noting that data on people's sexualities is always at least a bit unreliable because so many people are unwilling to acknowledge who they're attracted to.
One big thing that came out of the survey was that there are a lot of men who identify as bi, but they haven't come out. Why do you think that is?
Well, like, from my understanding, in the media, it's portrayed in women as quite a cool thing. But I think that for men, it detracts from their masculinity. I think that if you're a guy who's interested in other guys, that somehow makes you less of your gender. It's really stupid when you start to fathom it.
We also found that young women are more sexually diverse and open about it. Only 78% of young women who did the survey identified as straight, as opposed to 89% of young men. And young women are three times more likely to identify as bisexual than men.
Hey.
Hi.
Are you Sarah?
Yeah.
Hey, Avani.
This is Sarah. She's 20 and we met at her studio, where we're surrounded by all this vibrant pop art that she's painted. And that's her awesome old English sheepdog Wednesday jumping all over my recorder. Sarah says she always knew about her sexuality.
I would always say that I was in love with Chloe Grace Moretz. I'd go see this guy, but on the way we'd sing, like, I think I'm turning lesbian in the, like, in the theme tune of I think I'm turning Japanese in the car on the way to see him.
Sarah says answering the survey questions were also difficult for her, but in a totally different way to Sam.
Yeah, I think sexuality is fluid, and I think just ticking it in a box doesn't work.
In the end, Sarah decided to tick pansexual in our survey, along with 3% of other women and only 1% of young men. And it's important to note that pansexual is pretty different to bisexual.
Pansexuality, I think, is that the qualities that you like, it doesn't matter what gender. It's just totally equal. It's just totally gender blind.
And do you think that people have enough of an understanding of pansexuality?
I found it quite difficult to even grasp the concept reading about it and stuff because I've never heard of it before and stuff like that.
Back at Sam's choir, we're chatting about how big of an experience one survey has been for him. And although he still hasn't come out to most people in his life, he reckons this has all been a really important experience.
I heard a really cool quote the other day, and it was like, you start to really be yourself when you're the same person in front of everyone. And that really, really resonated with me. Rather than just sort of knowing or acknowledging slightly who you might be or what you might be interested in or what sort of identifies you, get out and do it. Actually take the first steps into being who you want to be, and rather than just thinking about it.
What's up in your world? Hack on Triple J.
It's The Hookup on Triple J. That was Avani Dias reporting. Right now, we're joined on The Hookup by Josh Muller, who's a psychologist and treasurer for the Melbourne Bisexual Network. Josh, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what did you think there about Sam's story? And I suppose that general figure of 40% of at least our respondents not having come out to their close family and friends.
Yeah, so I've mentioned it just before to you. Actually, I think 40% is relatively high. We've actually seen some other studies looking at a similar kind of thing that are as low as only 10% or so of bi men coming out to close friends and family.
Mm. Why do you think that is? Like, I mean, because that's even more of a, I suppose, an issue, I guess. And what is it that you see in your work that is some of the reason behind that?
Look, it's a whole range of issues. A lot of it's about representation or lack thereof in the media around bi guys. It's stigma, it's myths, it's a whole bunch of different things. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll unpack a few of those very soon, but we've had a call from Lennon in Box Hill. Lennon, how did you first realise you were bi?
Well, it's a funny story, actually. My ex-partner was on the more open side of things, and she and I decided that we'd have a foursome. And so in that foursome was obviously me, her, another guy, another girl, and then I ended up sucking his dick and, you know, other things. And mm-hmm. then I realized that, oh, hey, this is, you know, more interesting to me than I thought it was.
Mm. Did that come as a surprise to you?
No, I'm generally quite a feminine person. I grew up with women. I haven't seen my dad since I was 7, and so I didn't have a male influence in my life. And so it was always women. So I ended up being a super feminist because of my older sister. And then, therefore, I'm quite a feminine guy, but I kind of hide it a lot because, you know, I don't know, I'm just, unless, and when people really know me well, then I ended up, you know, I end up being myself. But because I'm quite a bashful, abrasive person, I think that people react generally negatively to people who are effeminate. Obviously, women in the workplace get treated badly sometimes, and that extends to effeminate men in the workplace, like, you know, being seen like they're doing a gay thing or something, you know. And I don't like that at all. I hate when people use those kind of words, and so I don't want to be labelled like that. So I choose not to act like it.
Mm. Well, and I suppose choosing not to act like it and also choosing not to tell anyone, are you out to many people as bi?
My best friend. and some other select people, and one of my sisters, my eldest sister. And I knew because, you know, she's kind of, she only recently discovered that she's more an ultra lesbian than anything else. And whereas she was more just, you know, kind of bisexual, and but she's more tomboyish and stuff. So I came up to her because I knew that her reaction would be, you know, just, oh, yeah, cool.
Positive, yeah.
That's the one I want. I just want, oh, yeah, okay. It just doesn't have to be a thing, you know. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
It's something that is a part of us, you know.
Yeah. How did your best friend react?
He was fine as well. He's kissed a couple boys. He doesn't consider himself bisexual. I think he is, but.
Josh, what do you say to that particular note at the end there of like, you know, oh, you've kissed a couple of guys, you're probably heteroflexible or whatever term you like to go with.
Yeah. Well, look, there can be so much shame around guys being gay or being bi that we come up with these terms like heteroflexible or, you know, in looking at HIV and AIDS, we tend to use words like men who have sex with men. That covers, you know, just behaviour of men who have sex with men, because there are many, many straight men who have sex with men who don't identify as gay or bi because of the shame and stigma around it. Yeah.
They'd have more fun if they just, you know, let themselves go.
Yeah.
And just let themselves, I suppose, be there. Well, are you still with that partner that you mentioned, Lennon?
No, not anymore.
Yeah.
There's a whole other thing that happened there. We ventured into a little bit further of that, and then she had a sugar daddy, and things got a little bit too complicated, and I think that maybe she wasn't the type of person to be doing that sort of thing. And so I was trying to talk her out of it. She was already too far into it. You know, I think you need to be a really open, transparent person. And to anybody who's thinking of being in that situation, I think the most important thing is ultimate transparency.
Mm.
Like, there's no secrets between you. There's no, even if they've asked you to keep it a secret, I don't think you can do it unless it's something that's really, really poignant, because that was the thing that hurt me the most. In that situation.
Lennon, it's really interesting you're talking about kind of effeminacy or like role models or having lots of like sisters and being around women and things. And I guess I often see the kind of conflation around gender and sexuality that, you know, like if you're a man and you're more effeminate, then it's assumed that you're gay or bi.
Yeah. And the thing is, I'm 6'5" and quite muscular and generally pretty gruff and hairy. So I just seem very, you know, very straight. And people are like, oh, okay, you're bi. I'm like, well, yes. If I was myself around you, you'd probably, you know, go to those stereotypes of what you think that someone like that is. But the thing is, you don't know who is. And that's the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. And to just for us to say very specifically and directly that the way you act out your gender has sometimes very little to do with your sexuality or who you're attracted to or what kind of sex that you have.
Yes, because they're all different things.
Yeah. Mm,
exactly. Lennon, thanks so much for the call.
Thanks so much. Love your show. Bye.
Thanks.
We're talking all about being a bisexual guy and how difficult it is to come out and be open with your sexuality, as you responded in Hack's What's Up in Your World survey. About 6% of respondents identified as pan or bi, but 40% of them, only 40%, were actually out, compared to 83% of gay men, which is a really big difference and it's a really big gap. Right now, I'm still joined by Josh Muller, a psychologist and treasurer for the Melbourne Bisexual Network. But joining us now is actor Sam Anderson. He has a new show called Bicycle? Where he explores being a bi guy in a masculine setting. You might have seen him on Underbelly, Tale of Two Cities, and the 2015 film Drown. Welcome to The Hookup, Sam.
Thanks so much, Nat. Thanks for having me.
Now, I've got a text here that says, I'm bisexual and I've not come out to my close friends and family. For me, it's purely sexual with males and I don't see any chance of a full-on relationship with a guy. Therefore, it's no more important for others to know than it is for them to know, say, what porn I'm into. It's a non-matter.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
I think sharing your sexuality or who you have sex with is totally and utterly up to you. So if this person doesn't want to share that with anyone, that's fine. What I would encourage is that often some of the shared experiences of men who have sex with men or bi-plus men, it's worthwhile sharing your sexuality in order to access community. And through accessing community, educating yourself about, you know, where are your resources, what services can you access, having a sense of belonging can be really powerful tools of well-being. And you might meet a cute person who you end up being in a relationship with as well. I don't know. Who knows? but there shouldn't be a pressure to come out.
Mm. Yeah. What are some of the obstacles for bisexual people who want to access those communities, though? Because having spoken to quite a few people during the week, it feels like, you know, a lot of bi people feel like it's like one foot in, one foot out the door with, you know, the straight world and with the LGBT world.
Yeah, we sometimes talk about it as dual discrimination. So discrimination from heterosexual communities of homophobia and biphobia, but also from queer communities of biphobia. Yeah, you can see some pretty nasty things on Grindr or Scruff profiles talking about bi people or responses to bi guys. Sure, there is that stigma and harassment in those communities as well. But having said that, I think, at least as a bi person, have found great community in those spaces. And it's well worth, taking the risk and taking the step in and trying things out, finding your people.
Mm. And we'll talk about how maybe there's more of a struggle finding your people outside of the big cities next on The Hookup. But I'm Nat Tenchich and we're talking about bisexual men. I'm here with Josh Muller, who's a psychologist, and I'm also here with actor Sam Anderson. Now, you are about to kick off a play, one-man show called Bicycle. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're exploring and what you're exploring about yourself through this show?
Yeah, absolutely, Nat. Yeah, so I wrote this show about a year ago to explore. I was writing about a girl, actually, and in a workshop, about a solo performance workshop, and one of the teachers actually said to me, like, that's really fascinating, but I think there's something more to the story, and I want to hear about that. And he saw right through me. I think good teachers sometimes can, good drama teachers can. And the story was that, I'd been with guys and I had been confused for many, many, many years. So I use this as a vehicle to explore my confusion. And do it in on a spin bike in front of complete strangers. So, I'm still day to day in terms of like where do I lie and who will I be attracted to on many levels. And I think that's what you were saying, Josh, like you've got sometimes 2 feet in different camps, so you don't want to put down any anchors for fear of not being able to go back to girls, not being able to let whatever moves in on you, move in on you in a really positive way. I've struggled with that. I still do. I'm not going to sit here and proclaim that I'm like, you know, out and proud to everyone. I think there are, especially in circles of the arts. I mean, it's very fluid and open. And people are very understanding, but in my parents' generation, industrial settings, you know, sometimes I'm emptying, doing labor, you know, and you hear the terms thrown around. Oh, you know, this guy's so gay or whatever, you know, mate. And you're like, I hold my tongue. Like, I'm not, you know.
And I guess it's that thing where it's like, if you already like girls and you don't really have to say anything, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, well, I can fly under the radar.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting, the last caller, about, you know, that masking that. And I think what you said, Josh, before about visibility of and what Lehman, I think, said about transparency of self and the visibility to be who you are can really move you forward, and not just about accessing amazing community, but also just being able to express yourself and be free to make those calls from day to day.
And like on the visibility thing, I think like if you think about, well, what does a bisexual person look like in a couple? Well, it will look like all sorts of things. If it's, you know, if we're talking about bi men, if it's you're walking past a couple on the street and it's a man and a woman, well, the guy might be bi. If you're walking past two men who are holding hands, well, either one of them might be bi.
Yeah, or both.
Just like going, you know, population stats. I have some history in epidemiology. if you think about Melbourne has a population of like 5 million. Mm. And if roughly like 10 or 11% are LGB and about half of those are B, that gets us to like 250,000 bi people in Melbourne. That's a lot of people. Mm. And actually, it's probably higher because Melbourne's like this progressive queer hub that a lot of people travel from their rural or regional towns to get into Melbourne, thinking that it's, yeah, this kind of queer mecca or something like that in Australia.
But yeah, it's more than we kind of realise. It's The Hookup on Triple J. I'm Nat Tenchich and I'm with Josh Muller, a psychologist, and actor Sam Anderson. Dom from Cheltenham, you're bi, but like Sam, you kind of struggle with the label. Why is that?
Yeah, so hi guys. Yeah, I mean, I just kind of see, I don't know, I've been with both girls and guys and I see it as a really kind of fluid thing. And I think when you are kind of labelled as bi, like you're kind of, in a way, you're put in a box, or you have some people who like straight up to you like, oh, well, you're really only going to love one or the other. Like, and some people just don't really understand it. So like when I talk to people about my kind of experiences, I'll say like, yeah, I've had sex with guys and girls and it's something that I'm really comfortable with, or I've come to the point that I'm comfortable with it. But I just find that label kind of weird personally, but I still think that's the closest to where I am.
What is it like? Why do you struggle owning that label?
I don't know. I think as I was saying,
do you think
saying,
you'll
like,
put some people off? Or
yeah, I definitely do. But then, like, I'm still quite open about my experiences. I just think I don't know. I just think there's a lot like of kind of a stigma that goes with that label, and you guys are touching on that, and it's an interesting thing, like because I just don't think it's as clear-cut as being, you know, and I'm sure you guys probably agree, as gay, straight, bi, whatever. Like, they're kind of these dichotomous things, whereas I see it as a very fluid thing. Like, you know, it's funny, like, if I had, like, if it was 100% spectrum, it's like you're 100% straight, or, you know, you're 50% straight or whatever, I'd see myself as kind of like a 60-40 split. Mm-hmm. So, it's a super funny thing, but and I've gotten to the point that I'm kind of comfortable with that tag personally, but I probably wouldn't use it when like introducing myself to other people.
Mm. So do you normally go with, I'm straight or which side was the 60, the hetero side?
Yeah, that's hetero, but I normally just say like, I know I've been with both men and women and I'm pretty open, for everything. And it took me a long time to get to that point, and like, you know, especially with family and even that, like I had very open and loving friends, but even I think it's an internal thing. And like growing up, I went to like a Catholic boys school for the first 2 years of my high school, and that definitely just stemmed in me that it was like a not acceptable thing. And that was really tough thing to turn back from.
Yeah.
And turn
absolutely
around.
I totally agree with that,
Josh. Why do you think it's so hard for people to get their heads around the idea of bisexuality? Or
look, I think Dom had a really good point around like people like to put other people in boxes, nice simple boxes with clear lines between them, and bisexuality or being attracted to more than one gender kind of like breaks that box apart a bit. So if like bi people or pan people or queer people or polysexual people, et cetera, kind of break that box of are you attracted to men or women, which is the kind of like major categorization in society for a long time in the West. You might also think about like trans or gender diverse folk as kind of breaking boxes of gender, or asexual people as breaking boxes of wanting to have sex or being sexually attracted at all, right? Wherever we see people breaking boxes or breaking classifications, we see fear and harassment and hatred. But I think getting back to Dharma, actually, labels are best when you find ones that fit you and when you use them yourself rather than when other people put them on you generally.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you were talking, you know, Don was talking about sexual fluidity as an idea, you know, which is kind of a label in itself. Like, how does it differ to, you know, being necessarily bisexual? Or like, how do you kind of split those labels and make them work for you?
Use more than one. Yeah. Call yourself like queer, fluid, open, bi, pan, whatever. Use more than one label. There's no rule saying you've got to use just one. That'd be my recommendation.
Does that work for you, Dom?
Yeah, for sure. I think it depends. Like, you know, I'll go through times where I'm more attracted to men than I am women and vice versa. And it's like, it's not a concrete thing at all. And it's always changing, and you're always changing. Like I'm only 21, so I feel like, you know, how I viewed it when I was 17 to how I view it when I'm going to be 25, they're all going to be different things. So, yeah, I think that's a really cool idea to use more than one.
to be open
about it.
You do you, and wear as many as you can, Dom. Thanks so much for the call.
Thanks for calling.
It's The Hookup on Triple J. We're talking about bisexuality and being a guy. And Josh Muller is still with us, a psychologist and treasurer for the Melbourne Bisexual Network. And Sam Anderson, thank you so very much for joining us.
Love and f***ing. The Hookup on Triple J.
This person here who's texted in, I'm a 23-year-old man and identify as bisexual. I've only really accepted it within myself over the last few months and I'm not out to family or friends yet, only two close mates. It's been a bit of a hard journey accepting it and dealing with it over the years, especially when I have a lot of conservative and religious family friends. Plus the stigma I feel is around bisexual males and how they're perceived to be less masculine. We're still with Josh Muller, who's an LGBT psych and treasurer for the Melbourne Bisexual Network. And we are now joined to talk a little bit more about what that experience is like in rural and regional Australia, Ella Bushak, researcher at Monash University, and has put a lot of time and effort into studying the experiences of bisexual guys in rural and regional Australia. Yeah. Welcome to The Hookup.
Thank you.
So talk us a little bit through that and the research that you've done and what you found about that experience, because I imagine it can be quite isolating.
Oh my God, totally. So last year I did a small study that basically looked into the research and went, well, there's not a single study in Australia about bisexual countrymen. And so I conducted a bunch of interviews with men from all across Australia, from age 20 to 55, with all these different life experiences. And one of the things I found was that my research actually kind of questioned this assumption that the city is this sort of, like you said, Josh, like a mecca for queer people, that that it's this place where people have an expectation they'll find belonging. And while that's true for many, many people, for my men, my participants, they actually went through a process of coming out. So it wasn't so much a single coming out, as we often say, you know, you come out of the closet and that's it. You're out of the closet, blah, 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 you're done. You're now an official queer, right? For these men, it was actually they would come out to close friends or to family with often quite positive experiences of acceptance. But when they would move to the city for, say, uni or work or something like that, and try and come out as bi to particularly gay men, they actually faced a lot of backlash and faced a lot of biphobia. They faced more discrimination for their sexuality in the city than in the country. And so take that with a grain of salt, though, because it was still that the country was quite isolating and insular oftentimes. But they actually, when they came out to a lot of gay men and faced this backlash, they would actually go back into the closet. So a lot of my men knowingly would put on a label of gay and say, yep, I'm gay, you know, I like dicks, and you know, some of those quotes were quite interesting, you know, but
and maybe erase their past history of female partners, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. There was a definite process of trying to prove one's belonging in these communities, because otherwise they often expressed a feeling of being an imposter, even though there's B in the label. So that was my main finding. Yeah.
Well, we've had a call in from Benji in Ballarat. It seems like maybe some of this is speaking to you. You identified as gay for a while, and now you're finding out that maybe you're into something a bit more.
Well, yeah. Hi. Hello. I came out, funnily enough, on Facebook when I was 16 years old. I just kind of, like, had enough of, like, I felt like I was 100% gay, and I just had enough of, like, lying to my family and my friends, etc. And I guess I've kind of felt locked in that label ever since, because I was so young when I did that. Now I find myself more and more, I'm 25 now, and I find myself more and more attracted to women, but I find that it's very difficult for me to even know how to go there, because I've never done anything like that, if you know what I mean.
Josh, how might Benji even start to think about this and acting on it?
Yeah, well, look, at my work at the Mind Equality Centre, I work with lots of folk slowly trying to work out where their sexuality best fits. And I think my advice to Benji would just be to take it slow. Take it slow and, you know, maybe try out some experiments, start to expose yourself to more kind of bi narratives, see it a bit more. And maybe start having conversations with people who are bi. That'd be my advice.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for that. Because it's definitely been a very confusing time, because it's sort of like, it's just a very confusing time. Thank you.
And I would also add as well, if, you know, obviously this is quite, like you said, a confusing time and it fits difficult for you, but that in itself makes it very real as well. And it will take time. You know, we're talking here. We are showing you, I hope, some bi narratives, and both Josh and I are very proud of our own identities, and I hope that it's a good journey for you, you know.
Well,
the journey so far has been very, very good. I've actually found for myself, living out in rural Victoria, I haven't actually found that many people that have been, I would say, actively homophobic towards me. I've never really had people saying things. So I do feel some change in our country has happened over the last few decades, and it is good to see, and it helps me to feel probably a little bit more okay with being bisexual, because otherwise I sort of felt a bit like you were saying, trapped into that label of I'm either into men or I'm into women. And I really like the idea that we all should be a little bit more fluid in our thoughts, I guess.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, great point.
Some of the most amazingly accepting people I've met have been from the country, and I think it's really important to share the narrative that rural, just because, you know, you've grown up in a rural or regional town, equals being homophobic. It's not the case. It's not the case.
Thanks for the call, Benji.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Good luck.
It's The Hookup on Triple J. Just getting to some of your final questions and comments. Isaac from Tamworth says, sexuality is like a car. Some are the same, some are different, all different in their own way. Just choose a road to take your sexuality on. There you go. It's a really nice, nice way to wrap this up. And if this conversation has brought up anything for you and you want to talk to someone, you can call QLife at 1800 184 527, or you can chat online at qlife.org.au. Thank you so much, Josh and Ella, for joining us tonight on The Hookup.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If there's something you want covered on the show, send it in via The Hookup at abc.net.au or via Facebook. Just search for The Hookup on Triple J. Plus, if you're loving what you're hearing, give us a rating wherever you find your favourite podcasts. It'll help other people find the show.